This is Pastor Butch Paul, and I am sending in today for Melody's Houston. You're now listening to Financial Survival, and I hope you're going to enjoy the broadcast. We always, the first segment on Wednesday is with Wendy Wilson with Apothecary Herbs. We got a lot to talk about today on that and a lot of news to cover, a lot of important news to cover. So y'all hang in there. Before we go to our guest, though, as always, we want to do the markets and the metals. Gold had a pretty good day today. It's up 2363 to 1943.10. Good increase in gold. Silver, another pretty good day, up 42 cents, 2517. Platinum is also up 310 to 1024. Palladium is up by $5, 2546. The metals went up a little bit all the way through. While the markets, U.S. markets, had a rough day. Dow was down 0.99%, 344 points, down to 34462. NASDAQ was down 0.84%, 118 points to 13,990. And NASDAQ was down. The S&P was down 0.84, 37 points to 4,473. So they all had a pretty rough day there. Japan and Hong Kong were both up quite a bit. Nikkei was up about 3%, up 840 points to 2,840. Hong Kong was up 1.29%. 285 points to 22,171, and Europe to markets ones didn't do so well. They went down a huge bunch, but they were down. London was down 0.22% to 74.60. Germany was down 1.31% to 14,283. So they took a little hit. Nothing huge. Nothing what I thought. What you think it would be with Europe at war? You think about more than that. The 10-year yield was 2.32, so it was down just slight. Oil was up, as figured, over 5% to 114.82, and that's not going to stop, folks. That's going to keep on going. And we're going to share some news on that in a little bit because right now the average price of gasoline in California is over $6 a gallon. So you figure it out, folks. It's going to get really, really nasty. And this, we're just seeing the beginning of it. We're seeing the beginning of a lot of hurt in this country and around the world. Let's go to our guest now. Let's go to Wendy Wilson. She's always with us on Wednesday, and it's always good to have her because she's always a pocket of wealth. And I want to thank you for joining us today, Wendy. Thank you so much.
Hey, Pastor Butch. Always great to be with you.
Well, I'm glad you're with us, and I want you to pick out which way you want to go because any way you go is always interesting, and you go right ahead.
Well, thank you. Well, I thought we'd talk about a real pandemic, if you will, for a change. The drug-induced liver disease, or an injury that happens not just in America but globally. There was this report that was in the August 2005. This was on a Swedish. The Swedish folks were doing some reports on liver damage due to drug toxicity. So the study looked at the hepatology reports. And they suspected drug-induced liver injury called DILI. And all these reports went to the Swedish Adverse Drug Reactions Advisory Committee. And they wanted to see which drugs were, or combinations of drugs, were giving people acute liver disease. Here's a quote by Dr. Heyman Zimmerman. He says, drug-induced liver disease is a potential complication seen using some medications. It usually is not life-threatening, but may occasionally be more severe with high mortality that requires a liver transplant to save the patient. So the statistics are pretty bad. For every 100,000 people on certain drugs, 100 of them are going to get acute liver disease. That's a big statistic. So,
yes, it is.
Well, let me ask you, I was asking some people when I was writing this report up, I said, what do you think is the leading cause of liver disease in the United States? If you didn't know about this topic, what would you have guessed, Pastor Butch?
You know, I never thought of it. I never thought to give much thought that. I really didn't. I would say drinking, alcohol would be a big one for those
right.
who do that.
Yeah, that came up. Sugar and alcohol were the top two. People later were thinking, oh, maybe hepatitis viruses and stuff like that. But liver disease is really on the rise. And over the last decade, it seems to be induced by prescription medications. So therefore, liver injury from drugs is a growing medical concern, and it becomes a public health problem. And these are global statistics of these drug-induced liver disorders. This is not just the United States. So in 2012, the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, they were looking into the U.S. drug-induced liver problem. They said it was the leading cause of liver failure That's bad. They said this, drug-induced liver disease is one of the leading causes of acute liver failure in the United States. So if someone needs a liver transplant, it's highly likely it was from the drugs they were prescribed. Some of the offenders, people want to know, which drugs? So which drugs are the problem? Well, if you ask the public which drugs, they may answer. What would you answer if I asked you, which drugs do you think is causing liver damage?
I'm sure there's a lot of them. I'd say metformin's a big one.
Okay. Well, pain and diabetic medicines were on the top of the list from people surveyed.
Yes.
However, the Journal of Clinical and Molecular Hepatology listed some of the drug agents in the United States that are commonly used. Antibiotics was at the top of the list. Anticonvulsants, psychotropic drugs, antimicrobial agents, which would be anything like your antiseptics and disinfectants, and also acetaminophen, which is your Tylenol. Okay. And also PubMed weighed in on this. They had an article. They said children are not exempt from drug-induced liver injury. And they also say drug combinations with alcohol and malnutrition often come into play as well. So what kind of liver diseases do these drugs produce? We're going to get to that in a minute. First, I'm going to read you a couple.
And Tylenol is a real often used over-the-counter drug.
It is. And somebody asked me acetaminophen. Well, acetaminophen and Tylenol are a little bit different, but they do stress liver and kidneys. So, you know, just watch what you're doing. Now, the Clinical and Molecular Hepatology report of September 2012 said this. Medications can cause a diverse array of acute or chronic liver injury, which are poorly understood by science, and they think genetics have something to do with it. Well, this is what they always do. This is their fallback. It can't be our fault. It has to be the person's genetics, right? They also said in PubMed, acetaminophen overdoses and isosyncratic drug reactions have replaced viral hepatitis as the most frequent apparent cause of acute liver failure. So pushed viral hepatitis to the curb, and it's your drug-induced therapies that are doing it. Also, another quote, this is from the PubMed folks. They say, drug-induced liver injury is also the most frequently cited reason for withdrawal from medication from the marketplace. 32% of drugs that are withdrawn from the marketplace cause liver injury, Pastor Butch.
Wow.
So most drugs, new drugs, let's say, that are tested, they're usually tested, according to PubMed, on fewer than 3,000 people prior to the FDA drug approval process, and liver damage may not be detected in a small sample, and that 1 in 10,000 people that come down with liver damage would normally be dismissed. So just think about those numbers. So now the research at the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, get this, I was shocked. This was published in the Clinical and Molecular Hepatology Journal. They mentioned the definition of drug-induced liver disease, and it's an increasing concern due to the potential risk from complementary and alternative medicines. So now they're switching. They want to point the finger, and you're going to be amazed at what they're saying. They cite it is because alternative medicine's not regulated or standardized, but that's not true. Supplements are regulated under the Supplement Guideline Act of the FDA upholds. And it's also very unlikely to standardize a natural plant source as it's influenced by soil composition, sunshine, water, you know, what it is exposed to in different climates and regions or zones. Unlike a petrochemical drug, which is just a bunch of chemicals they develop in a lab. So they can standardize that all day long. Now, the Swedish research, they established that the prescribed drugs are the culprit cause, not supplements for liver damage like this. It's also pretty astonishing to me, Pastor Butch, that the research out of the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health went as far as to say health foods will cause liver damage as well. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're really saying, you know, it's not our drugs, it's your healthy diet. Now, they also mention in particular, they don't like the Asian marketplace with the herbal medicines there. Of course, Asian herbs are a little different than what is indigenous to the United States. So some of the Asian herbs can cause problems if you don't know what you're doing. So they're saying the Asian market with their complementary medicine and their acupuncture and all these herbs, it's a worldwide problem. That's what they're saying. So it seems that the U.S. National Library of Medicine, they want to just change the current medical definition of drug-induced liver illness, injury. Let me read you this quote from them. They say, however, drug in definition of drug-induced liver disease commonly means liver damage by a prescription drug or an over-the-counter drug. There is a need to validate a new and more accurate method of drug-induced liver injury identification. We need to develop new refinements to this definition to include complementary medicine, folk remedies, health foods, and supplements. Yep. So, well, if they get that accomplished, what do you think that would mean, Pastor Butch?
More control.
Well, it means your natural supplements would be classified as a drug, and then
there
you need
you
a
go.
Prescription.
More control.
You need
more
a prescription.
Control.
They say we need to make the public aware of the potential danger of herbs, health foods, dietary supplements, folk remedies, and these can be misused, abused, and adulterated. Well, anything can be abused, you know. So, but here's a quote in contrast to that. This is from Dr. Zimmerman, who said, during the last decade, drug-induced liver injury has led to the withdrawal of a number of drugs from the market. The combination of high liver cell damage measured by liver enzymes and jaundice induced by the drug is associated with a fatality rate of 10 to 15%. And this rate has been advocated by the FDA for assessing liver toxicity on new drugs, but science has not officially validated that yet. So they're kind of, they have this kind of, well, a rule of thumb, but it's not official. Here's some damage control. Dr. Zimmerman is stating that your medicine uses this unofficial rule that when liver enzymes are three times higher than normal, it's when doctors believe there's liver damage occurring and they take the patient off the offending drug or drug combinations. And it could be a combination of drug therapy that is the cause. But not every patient can develop the same liver damage. So here's the liver damage that usually occurs. They get what is called damaged liver cells, or HC, liver injury, or bile flow injury, or mixed liver injuries, or liver failure. And liver failure always brings the need for a liver transplant if the patient's a good candidate. So patients with liver cell damage have a higher mortality than the other forms of the liver injury. And that was the U.S. Department of Internal Medicine, American Association for the Study of Liver Diseases. So, yeah, if you get liver failure, that's it. It's the liver's done. They go on to say adverse drug reactions are significantly underreported within scientific medicine, which is a limitation to any present study. So, therefore, the 10 to 15% rule is most likely skewed and could be much higher at a risk than using these prescription drugs due to the underreporting. So, therefore, that's just another example, Pastor Butch, of science
I'll ask you a question, Wendy. Can't the liver kind of reproduce itself?
It can if you give it the right fortification.
Okay.
So it's sort of like you can't make bricks without water or straw or certain
right.
elements, right? So the same thing, the liver can't regenerate its cells unless it has certain nutritional elements. So the liver does a lot of things. It tends to neutralize toxins that are in the blood system because the blood system flows the blood through the liver, and the liver has to neutralize toxins from prescription drugs or poisons or whatever, and it produces an enzyme to do that. Usually the enzyme number is P450. That's what science calls it. So if those liver enzymes get higher and higher and higher, it's forcing the liver to overwork to protect you from all this toxicity, especially if you're on more than one medication. And what happens is it wears the liver out, and then it can't produce those enzymes, and then the liver cells start to degrade and you got liver failure. The liver is also, in addition to that, its job is to help regulate digestive enzymes, hormones, and blood sugars. So it's got a lot of important jobs, but if you don't have a liver and you can't have a transplant, that's it, see. So, yes, the liver is designed to regenerate. So if you were back in the Garden of Eden, Pastor Bush, just picture yourself there. Oh, it's just paradise. It's just paradise, right? That liver of yours is supposed to regenerate so quickly, you'd have a new liver every 30 days. Because you're you're in an area where you're not getting those toxins, see? So, but our world is so very toxic, not just what we're ingesting in and breathing in and absorbing in. There's, you know, radiation and all this other nonsense going on. So the liver struggles, especially if we're 50% depleted in our mineral nutrition in the food we're eating. So you see the problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so what better way to, you know, continue the liver failure issue than to regulate the you-know-what out of your supplements so you can't have any fortification? So one of the favorite herbs of mine for liver is a milk thistle. Numerous studies, hundreds of studies nationwide, globally. The Germans love milk thistle. They even did a study where they took a control study of lab rats. They fed half of them milk thistle and half of them didn't get any. And then they gave them poisonous mushrooms. The lab rats that had the milk thistle survived. The ones that didn't died. So imagine if you use milk thistle, you know, your liver's going to help regenerate sick and dying cells because of the antioxidants that herb does give the liver. So milk thistle is very benign. It's on the safe list according to the FDA. So I use it daily, and I've been using it for almost 30 years.
Interesting.
Yeah. So organ cleansing is important, folks. You want to get out the toxicity and save your organs. Give us a call at Apothecary Herbs. We specialize in organ cleansing, immune boosting, metabolic strengthening, and we're having a spring sale. So you'll save 30% on orders of $65 or more, and the sale runs through Sunday, the 27th. So enjoy.
You know, it's amazing, too, that what we consider weed, a milk thistle, can actually save your life.
Yeah, and dandelion, too. Everybody thinks that is a yard weed, and according to Windsor
Medical
University,
it's one of the best foods in the world.
Well, dandelion cures all known cancer cells. They say kills all known cancer cells. That's the Canada Hospital and so Windsor Medical University. So, and everybody kills that weed, you know, with Roundup.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, we're down. You got to give your number out two or three times very quickly.
Ask for a free catalog. Give Apothecary Herbs a call. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Or visit us online. thepowerherbs.com.
As usual, Wendy, you knocked it out of the park. That was interesting.
Very
interesting. I mean, you did a great job. Give that number one more time and the website one more time.
866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. See you next week.
All right, sweetheart. Have a good one. Talk to you soon. Folks, back at the break. A lot more news. Don't y'all go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoices of Integrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we are back in. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and I am sitting in for Melody Seastrom Day with Discount Gold and Silver. And y'all know her phone number. You should. I hope you utilize it some. I hope you're planning, you're doing what you can. Prepare yourself for what's coming, folks, because I want to share with you today information not from my opinion, not from my knowledge, but from people that are out there, we'll say, in the economic world and the political world, that know what's going on. And Melody's number is 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. You need to call up and talk to her about how you can at least protect some of your wealth. And folks, if you got paper in the bank, I don't care whether it's paper money, it's just a computer glitch. It may have a whole amount, it may not. They don't keep a lot of cash on hand. Nonetheless, it's in paper there or paper in the market. It's paper. Keep that in mind. We'll start off with it with the issue now that I think that probably most people don't think about, and this will make a lot of people upset probably, but Russia understands that the U.S. and the West is pushing for what they call the New World Order, and they want nothing to do with it. That's why Ukraine was such a buddy-buddy to the U.S. and with the Bidens, and it caused a problem finally. Russia said no more, but this is what President Biden said. There's going to be a New World Order. It hasn't happened in a while, and America has to lead it. President Biden, the former senator from Delaware, addressed a business roundtable on Monday afternoon. We're at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Not just the world economy, the world that occurs every 3 to 4 generations, the president said. A general told me that 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946, and since then we've established a liberal world order, and it hasn't helped. It happened in a long time. Now, I don't follow everything he's saying there. Maybe I'm not supposed to. Maybe you do. I don't. A lot of people die, but nowhere near the chaos. Now is a time when things are shifting, and there's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. We've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. That's... a lot of that was, to me, just gibberish. But he recognizes that the New World Order is here. That, one too many years ago, you talk about the New World Order, people thought you were some kind of conspiracy theorist, some kind of conspiracy nut. Bush talked about it back in the 90s. George Senior, Senior, Bush Senior. And now we have President Biden, we call him President, Biden saying that we're going to have it. And the U.S. is going to have to lead it. Folks, that means that we're leading the way into it. This is fulfilling Scripture big time for America in the last days. Yes, America is in the Bible. She's all through the Bible. And we are the hammer of the whole earth, as we were told in the Scriptures, to get the world hammered into the shape for the New World Order. That's just the way it is. I don't necessarily like it. I don't like to even believe it. But 25, 30 years ago or longer, probably longer than that, 35 years ago, I want to see an article about America and the end time fulfillment of prophecies. I didn't like what I read then, but the gentleman that wrote to me, sent it to me, was absolutely right on. This next article comes from Michael Snyder, and which I do respect this man's opinion because he's right so many different times. Severe drought and dust bowl conditions threaten to create a disastrous winter wheat harvest in the U.S. Now, you know that the drought is so severe in Colorado and California, place there in Nevada. They're actually fighting over the water supply. And the drought is absolutely man-made. No doubt about it. He said food prices in the U.S. have already been soaring, and now we are on track for an absolutely horrible winter wheat harvest. Of course, this comes at a time when the war on the other side of the globe is going to greatly reduce wheat exports from Russia and Ukraine. Over the last 12 months, the price of wheat has already risen 69%. I did not know that much, folks. In the last 12 months, it's went up 69%. And now this crisis threatens to go on to an entire new level. In all my years of writing, I've never seen anything like this, and I am deeply concerned about what the months ahead will bring. Now, folks, I know you know this. Wheat isn't everything. I mean, it's in, of course, your grain, your bread. It's in your cattle feed. It's everything. Wheat is a staple. And he said, all my years of writing, I've never seen anything like this. And he's greatly concerned about what's coming in the future. Due to the extreme drought, winter wheat is in very bad shape in states like Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. The following comes from one of the most prominent agricultural websites in the entire country. It says, some farmers in southwestern Kansas, the top U.S. wheat-producing state, have not received much measurable rain or snow since October. Winter wheat is planted in autumn, lays dormant in winter, and begins sending up green shoots in spring. Proper soil moisture is critical at this stage for the crop to thrive. More than half of Kansas was classified as under severe drought or worse as of March 8th, the driest condition since 2018, according to the National Drought Mitigation Center. Severe drought is also covering three-quarters of Oklahoma and more than two-thirds of Texas, both of which are large wheat producers. If that sounds really bad, that is because it is really bad. Farmers are praying for rain because they desperately need it. The same article discussed the fact that winter wheat was severely damaged by a windstorm that brought dust bowl conditions to Kansas. The coming weeks will be critical for the Southern Plains wheat crop, said Lucas Haig, extension agronomist at Kansas City University. Many farmers apply fertilizer to maximize crop potential, but moisture needed to carry nutrients to plant roots, he said. Wheat plants damaged by the December and windstorm that brought dust bowl conditions to Kansas face additional drought problems because plants have been weakened either by the sandblast effect of blowing dust and dirt or by soil nutrient loss from the 100-mile-per-hour winds. So that doesn't sound too promising for a staple in the food crop, that not just for America, folks, but the whole world. And these are things that I know no one likes to talk about, but I think a wise individual would see all this information coming in, and even if it's only a half accurate, or even a quarter accurate, if it's 25% is accurate, the rest of it is nothing, that's still bad enough that you need to prepare yourself for what's coming. I do believe these people are right. If you're not stocking up on food and water filters, some hard assets, then I'm afraid you're going to be taken by surprise. And folks, I'll tell you this, I don't mind sharing this with you. I stocked up on food. Some food was really, after Y2K, that become very inexpensive for a while. I bought some of it. It's still good. I still eat on sometimes to find out it's still good. I have a supply of staples that will last my wife and I a long time, and my neighbors too if necessary for quite a while. But these things are for real. And I was thinking just the other day with this food I stocked up on 20 years ago. It's still good. I paid probably a fourth of what I pay for today, and it's still there to eat. Think about the future, not just now. I don't think, well, it's too high now. It's not going to get any cheaper, folks. It isn't. The UN is getting involved now, too. This is also from Michael Snyder. The UN is warning that we are heading into the worst global food crisis since World War II. The executive director of UN's World Food Program is saying that we are now facing a catastrophe on top of catastrophe. Unfortunately, he is not exaggerating. The global price of food was skyrocketing even before the war on the other side of the globe erupted. And now many of the countries are extremely dependent on agriculture product exports from Ukraine and Russia are going to have to turn elsewhere for answers. Meanwhile, severe is threatening production in the other major breadbasket of the world. We're being warned that the winter wheat harvest in the U.S. could be disastrous this year, and that is very unwelcome news. Because if some sort of miracle does not happen, we will soon see hunger and famine on a scale that once would have been unimaginable to many people. We really are facing a perfect storm as far as global food production is concerned. The following comes from a recent New York Times article. Ukrainian farms are about to miss critical planting and harvesting seasons. European fertilizer plants are significantly cutting production because of high energy prices. Farmers from Brazil to Texas are cutting back on fertilizer, threatening the size of the next harvest. China is facing the worst wheat crop in decades after severe flooding, is planning to buy much more of the world's dwindling supply. And India, which ordinarily exports a small amount of wheat, has already seen foreign demand more than triple compared with last year. The new global energy crisis just keeps pushing fertilizer prices higher and higher. This is something that I have been warning about for months, and now the mainstream media is finally acknowledging that we have a truly historic challenge on our hands. In fact, they are not openly admitting that fertilizer prices have more than doubled or tripled over the past year. So, folks, fertilizer's tripled over the past year. Imagine what it's going to cost in planting food if they can get it. In another ominous signal to fertilizer customers, early this month, European fertilizer producers said they were slowing or halting production because of soaring energy prices. Many fertilizers are made with natural gas. The world's major fertilizers have now more than doubled or tripled in price over the last year. Actually, in some cases, fertilizer prices have actually quadrupled. How are the poor parts of the world supposed to deal with that? It is easy to tell them to use less fertilizer, but using less fertilizer will mean less food is growing. Sadly, absurd fertilizer prices will result in dramatically reduced agriculture production all over the globe this year. The executive director of the UN's World Food Program is publicly warning that we're heading into the worst global food crisis since World War II. The looming disaster is laying bare the consequences of a major war in the modern era of globalization. Prices for food, fertilizer, oil, gas, and even metals like aluminum, nickel, and palladium are rising fast, and experts expect worse as the effects cascade. Ukraine has already compounded a catastrophe on top of catastrophe, said David M. Beasley, executive director of the World Food Program, the United States agency that feeds 125 million people a day. There's no precedent even close to this since World War II. There will be a famine in many parts of the globe in 2022, folks. That's now. A famine in many parts of the globe in 2022. Maybe here in the U.S., we won't see necessarily a famine in the sense that the food won't be there. We may see a famine in the sense that people can't afford to buy it. Starting on page 44 of my latest book, I specifically warned that we are heading into a time of global famine. Now even the United Nations admitting that this is upon us, and things are going to get worse in the months ahead. But many Americans simply will not care about this crisis until it affects them personally. Of course, the truth is that many Americans are now starting to feel the financial squeeze of rapidly raising food prices. The following comes from the Washington Post. As war continues to ravage Ukraine, Americans, particularly those who live in paycheck to paycheck, begin to feel the financial squeeze in their food prices from the conflict half a world away. It began with the rapid rise in gas prices. Now, with Russia oil ban in the United States and energy scarcity heightened globally, experts say shoppers can expect their grocery bills to rise in coming months, especially if Ukraine misses its wheat planting season. The good news is that nobody's facing starvation in the United States at this point. But lines at local food banks are starting to get quite long once again. Food bank officials are reporting growing lines at their distribution centers nationwide. Rates of reported hunger have been increasing since early August, with nearly 8% of respondents said they are sometimes or often did not have enough to eat, according to data from the Census Household Pulse Survey. In February, 10% of those polled said their household sometimes doesn't have enough to eat. That uptick is more significant for households with children, rising to 13%, although all from pandemic peaks. I'm sorry, folks. In the months ahead, do you think that global energy price will go up or down? To me, the answer to that question is quite obvious. If global energy prices continue to rise, that means that the fertilizer price will continue to rise. And the higher fertilizer prices shoot up, the worse this new global hunger crisis will become. Ever since the start of the COVID pandemic, the number of people around the world that do not have enough food to eat has been steadily rising. Now the war in Ukraine has taken things to an entirely new level, and experts such as David Beasley are openly admitting that we simply are not going to be able to feed everyone. So what happens if another black swan event takes place? For example, what will happen if China invades Taiwan? Or what will happen if another global pandemic suddenly erupts? We are so vulnerable now, and it isn't going to take much to push our world into a complete and utter food production nightmare. I know it's hard for me to believe this. If you saw me, you realize I've never starved in a day in my life. I'm a pretty good sized guy, and I just have always been that way. I've never had to miss a meal. I've always been blessed, even in the hard times when I was growing up. My dad worked really hard. Then we oftentimes just had brown beans and cornbread, which is fine with me, but we didn't have a lot of extras. But we always had plenty to eat. What's going to happen? God forbid this happens. But what's going to happen if you see your grandchildren going hungry and you can't help them? Or your own children? So far, we haven't seen that in the U.S. much to speak of. Around the globe, yes. People around the globe, I don't care where they're from or what race they are, when the children are hungry, it has to break their hearts. And they can't do a thing about it. Famine, starvation is a hard way to die. I've never seen anybody do that, but I've read up on what starvation does. It's a hard way to die. And we'll obviously see it start happening in the world, and maybe in America also, the way this nation has turned from God and turned into wickedness, into idolatry and fornication and all manner of evil, I wouldn't be surprised if America isn't one of the worst hit. I really wouldn't be surprised at all. But all I can say is, folks, the people like Melody have been trying to warn y'all for years, prepare yourself. On our broadcast this month, makes me 29 years on the radio, and I've been trying to tell people to prepare themselves also and to warn about what's coming on nation forgets God. In Psalms 9:17, nations that forget God are turned into hell. Folks, that is not something just written in a book to look at. He meant it. So, yes, famine's coming for the world. And I'm certain, according to Scripture, famine's coming to the USA. Prepare yourself as best you can. I know most of y'all are not wealthy people, but prepare as best you can. If you can afford some store-bought food, call New Manna Foods. That's the sponsor of my program. New Manna, N-U-M-A-N-N-A. New Manna Food, newmanna.com. Newmanna.com. Check out what's on there. Look at it. Mention my name and save 10% of what you buy. I know you can't afford it a lot, probably. But if you can do anything else, get some extra cans of green beans, something you can. Something that you can put back that will keep for some years. I know it's heartbreaking to say this, and it's frustrating to hear it. But it is coming, folks. I promise you, the world is ripe for judgment. America certainly has got to be near the top of the list. So understand that it's coming. It's already started. We're seeing it happen right now. Prices in the store, a local store here, the Dollar General store in our area, is $6.95 for a pound of hamburger. That's 80-20. Got a lot of fat in it. $6.95 for a pound of greasy hamburger. And that's only the beginning. We're going to see this get much, much worse. Here we go to break. A few seconds after the break, we're going to talk about, of course, about the price of oil and some other things, too. And I want you to at least give Melody a call. Talk to her at 800-375-4188. Do that. I got the break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, folks, we are back, and this is Pastor Rich Paul sitting here from Melody Cederstrom Day of Financial Survival. I hope what I'm reporting to you is making some impact in the situation that we're in as a world, and surely already America is involved in it also. I really mean that. Hope it's making a difference for you, making you understand the dire straits that this whole world is in. And, folks, it's amazing how fast Scripture is being fulfilled. Prophecy being fulfilled in Matthew 24, Revelation 18, all through the Bible. Prophecy being fulfilled so quickly. And just a few days ago, last week we was, oil dropped back down under $100 a barrel. Remember that? About $95. We thought, well, maybe there's going to be a slight reprieve in oil prices. And then last song. Brent soars above $120 a barrel amid short squeeze as Tristan Figure says oil will hit $150 this summer. $150 a barrel this summer, and I believe that's true, and it may be a little bit low. Oil pushed higher ahead of a high-level meeting that may result in fresh sanctions on Russia, and as a vital Black Sea terminal may be disrupted for weeks following storm damage. Overnight, Reuters reported that Russian and Kazakhstan's oil exports via the Caspian Pipeline Consortium from the Black Sea may fall up to 1 billion barrels per day or 1% of global oil production due to storm damages, a Russian official said on Tuesday. Pavel Sorokin, a deputy energy minister, said the second berth could also turn out to be a damaged after initial information about 1 of 3 being damaged by a storm. There's a number of reasons why U.S. demand is robust, even with prices above $100 a barrel. Brent will likely hit $150 a barrel this year, according to veteran trader Doug King. Meanwhile, speaking at the FT Commodities Global Summit, Transfigure's co-head of oil tradition, Ben Lukoch, said that increasingly tight balance of supply and demand will mean oil prices are going to keep going up, adding that oil prices are not only justified at this price, but they're going to continue higher. I think you see a huge backwardation, and I do think you'll see $150 a barrel this summer, which means the gas price will be $5 a gallon pretty much cross country. I mean, what can I say? It is. And this gentleman, Mr. Lukoch, said, adding the oil prices are not only justified at this price, but are going to continue higher. So I guess he thinks it's justified. Whatever happens, it's just right because, for whatever reason, he saw for that and said that, I have no idea. But he said it's justified. So we will see. For the first time, Los Angeles becomes the first in the U.S. to reach $6 a gallon average. Here where I live in Eddy, West Virginia, is $4.59 right now. $4.59. If I traveled half hour, I'd probably get it for $3.90 in some places. But it's a half hour drive to get it. But it's just, say, $4 average around here everywhere. Los Angeles on Tuesday became the first major city in the U.S. to reach an average price of $6 or more. That's according to fuel savings platform GasBuddy, which reported the national average gas price in the U.S. beginning to decline since its peak of $4.35 per gallon on March 10th. However, that doesn't apply to California, where gas prices have continued to soar. Gas has risen steadily in the past few weeks due to rebounding oil prices amid the ongoing Russian-Ukraine war, but also recent refinery issues in Southern California amid a rise in seasonal demand. GasBuddy says California also typically has some of the biggest gas prices in the country because of high gas taxes and its cap and trade program, which assesses a premium based on emissions. Amid this increase in gas prices, refinery workers at Chevron Refining in the Bay Area recently went on strike, pushing Chevron to find replacement workers in the meantime. Democratic state lawmakers last week announced a $400 gas rebate proposal for every California taxpayer. The proposal would use $9 billion of the state's budget surplus to provide the rebate, which is expected to cover 51.1% per gallon gas tax for one full year of weekly fill-ups for a car with a 15-gallon gas tank. Under this approval, every California filler will receive a rebate, including those who don't own or drive a car. I don't know how that works. Maybe if you don't own or drive a car, you still get the rebate. Okay. I know in West Virginia right now they're meeting either today or tomorrow to cut the state gas taxes for the foreseeable future. That's 36 cents a gallon, which is quite a sum when you think about it. I mean, you can imagine the money that a state rakes in when they have gas taxes, 35 cents, 50 cents or more, coming in every gallon you purchase the pumps. Imagine the money they're making on gas taxes. But then West Virginia is debating cutting that back and see what happens. I suppose that would bring it down to under $4 a gallon. But how long would that last? I don't know. But at this point, though, I think every little bit would help. But this article here says stimulus checks for gas. Some lawmakers are pushing for it. Another stimulus check, which means more being spent, maybe even trillions again, in the long run, that's going to cause inflationary push on the dollar even more, which means that prices will continue to rise, but as long as they keep giving stimulus checks, we'll be okay, right? Americans already face searing inflation with gas prices surged to an all-time high earlier this month. Now some lawmakers want the federal government to offer stimulus payments or rebate checks to help reduce the pain at the pump. Families with two children could get as much as $300 a month as long as the nation's average gas price exceeds $4 a gallon, according to one new bill proposed by Representative Mike Thompson of California, John Larson of Connecticut, and Lauren Underwood of Illinois. All three lawmakers are Democrats. American consumers could see increases cost of $2,000 this year due to the recent surge in gas prices, and that's up an extra $1,000 in grocery store costs due to the steepest rise in inflation since 1982. Already, consumers are reporting that they are cutting back on spending or driving less, with most blaming sticker shock at the pump. The gas stimulus would provide middle-class Americans with monthly payments to ease the financial burden of the global crisis, Thompson said in a statement about the proposal, referring to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which has pushed gas prices higher. Currently, millions of Americans would qualify for the payment based on current gas prices, which averaged $4.24 a gallon. While it's unclear whether any of the bills will move forward, the strain on Americans' households caused by the high gas prices is clearly on the minds of lawmakers. Here are how those proposals would work. Called the Gas Rebate Act, the bill proposed by Thompson, Larson, and Underwood would provide a monthly energy rebate of $100 per person. The refund would kick in for the rest of 2022 as long as the national average of gas is $4 a gallon during any given month. That all sounds wonderful. It does. And of course, we're all blaming it on Russia invading Ukraine. Folks, if you remember, and I know you do, gas prices were soaring before last month, when 24th last month, when the Russia went into Ukraine. Gas prices are already going up tremendously. Food prices are going up tremendously. Yeah, they'll blame it on Russia. They'll blame it on where they want to. But America's economy is collapsing. The world economy is collapsing. The world runs on fiat currencies. They're going to collapse. It's inevitable. There's not one time in history that any nation ever survived with fiat money, fiat currency. And America is no exception. We run pretty well over the last 50 years with the petrodollar, which is starting to fall away very quickly. Belarusian military could soon join war in Ukraine, U.S. and NATO officials say. The U.S. and NATO believe that Belarus could soon join Russia in the war against Ukraine, U.S. NATO officials tell you CNN, and that's the country is already taking steps to do so. It is increasingly likely that Belarus will enter the conflict, a NATO military official said on Monday. Russian President Vladimir Putin needs support. Anything would help, the official explained. A Belarusian opposition source said the Belarusian combat units are ready to go into Ukraine as soon as in the next few days, with thousands of forces prepared to deploy. In this source's view, this will have less of an impact militarily than it would geopolitically, given implications of another country joining the war. A senior NATO intelligence officer said separately that an alliance assesses that the Belarusian government is preparing the environment to justify as Belarusian offensive against Ukraine. Folks, that doesn't sound good at all. I don't know exactly how far this is going to go in this war. I have no idea. But it keeps adding up and adding up, and it's going to really start hurting. And on top of that, we have about 100 nations now that wants to drop the petrodollar. They no longer want the petrodollar. About 100 nations are coming together saying, we no longer want the petrodollar. If they pull that off, overnight, our dollar become almost totally useless. Not that it almost already is. It's inflated our existence every day. But if the 100 nations pull this off, and they take down the petrodollar and put maybe the yuan or whatever in place of it, it's finished. Russia now is demanding that we buy anything we buy from them now, we must buy it in rubles, not dollars. We must buy it in denomination of rubles, not dollars. So if China would demand the same thing, American dollars are going to purchase nothing. And seeing how we get most of our products shipped from overseas, China and other places, nothing much produced here any longer, that means that they can control the prices pretty much, doesn't it? So understand, this is a very serious situation. This is the most serious situation that I've seen in my lifetime when it comes to a world teetering on the brink of a global disaster and a nation I live in getting very close to the edge of a total economic fallout. It's the worst I've ever seen in my lifetime. So what's going to happen? I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen or set dates. That's wrong. But obviously it's already happening. It's already started. NATO leaders, listen to this, this is moving on again and more than about the war. NATO leaders set to okay major increases of troops in response to Putin's war on Ukraine. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said Wednesday the alliance is likely to bolster troops along its eastern flank, deploying four new battle groups in Bulgaria, Hungary, Romania, and Slovakia. I expect leaders will agree to strengthen NATO's posture in all domains, with major increases in the eastern part of the alliance on land, in the air, and the sea, Stoltenberg said during a press conference ahead of the NATO leaders' summit in Brussels. Since the Kremlin's February 24th invasion of Ukraine, NATO has readied 140,000 troops in the region and mobilized a colossal war chest of advanced military equipment. Of the approximately 140,000 troops, the United States has provided the lion's share with 100,000 soldiers. Let me repeat that now, folks. NATO is going to support, is going to bring in 40,000 troops. America is bolstering that with 100,000 of our own men. Did you hear that? The U.S. service members and NATO troops are currently deployed in neighboring NATO member countries and are not directly fighting with Russian forces inside Ukraine. U.S. Ambassador to NATO Julian Smith said Wednesday that a permanent station of U.S. NATO troops is currently on the table. Maybe we're not directly involved in the war yet, as far as sending boots on the ground. Although I find that suspicious. I think we're already sending troops there to train Ukrainian troops and who knows what else. But we have 100,000 troops personally from the U.S. stationed around these border countries flanking Russia. I don't know where this is leading exactly, but it sure doesn't sound like something that we should look forward to. This next article, I read it, and I looked at it twice. I thought, this can't be true, but it is happening. U.S. to bring back pirates to seize Russian yachts. The United States is going to bring back pirates to seize Russian yachts. Centuries ago, whenever kings and queens wanted to quietly wage an unofficial war against their enemies, they issued something called a letter of marque to private sailors known as privateers. The letter would legally authorize these privateers, which is another polite way of saying pirate, to seize other kingdom ships and cargo while at sea. It was essentially government-sanctioned theft. Now, let me repeat that a little bit. The U.S. is going to issue letters of a marquee to private sailors so that they can seize the yachts of Russian, I guess, citizens and loot them legally. Well, the United States Congress is bringing back this practice. A recent bill that was introduced would authorize the President of the United States to issue letters of marque and reprisal for the purpose of seizing the assets of certain Russian citizens. So if the bill passes, children can once again legitimately dream of becoming a pirate when they grow up. The last time the U.S. authorized privateers was during the War of 1812. Wow. Think about that. The U.S. may authorize lawful stealing from Russian citizens and their private yachts on the high seas. They could loot and plunder, and you know that that's not going to stop with yachts. If this goes on, if this is allowed, it will increase to the point that who knows what it could lead into. But folks, we are playing with fire here. We are literally playing with fire. I mean, this could lead to something that it's on the verge of exploding. It's like somebody lit the fuse on a bomb, and we're inches away from this thing blowing. Only God knows what's going to have come out of this. But it's people that are wise who plan for the future and try to protect themselves from what's coming. No one wants to go hungry. No one wants to go to war if they're in the right mind. No one. But call Melody up and talk to her. Ask what she can do to help you at 800-375-4188. Folks, we're on the verge of something happening out worldwide that we need to keep our eyes and ears, spiritual eyes and ears wide open. And senses glued to what's happening spiritually through the scriptures and understand what's happening in this world. There's utter chaos in the world, confusion, frustration, anger, and much more, and it's going to blow. By the grace of God, folks, be able to see you tomorrow, and I will see you in my program tonight at 8 o'clock. I'm back here with you on Friday. Have a good one.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.